This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.com. FM to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, King Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Downton Abbey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Downton Abbey After Show.
Oh, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey Season 3, Episode 6. I'm your host, John Comerford, and I'm joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody.
And Alina Akram.
Hi, everyone.
And, of course, helming us today is Marissa Serafini.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you, Marissa. Lots happening in this episode. Lots to get to. Let's see. Little baby Sybil becomes a Catholic.
Yes.
And Thomas makes a play for James while Edith becomes a journalist. But I want to start off with where we kind of left off last time. Freebates.
Freebates.
He's finally out. Thank God, because we were tired of the prison. Am I right? Was everybody in agreement with
I
that?
I was over it.
Okay. You were over it about two episodes ago.
Yeah, you were, for sure.
It was good to see him out, though. It's good. And the warm welcome you got back from everybody.
Well, one of the things I loved about it was when he comes out the door and he just looks perfect. He's the perfect Bates we've always, you know, known and have been missing for
perfect
the longest.
Perfect manservant that
very
we haven't
Very tall seen. And very dapper, you know, wearing all the right things and just... Thank God he's out of jail. He says, thank God and thank you to Anna.
What about Anna? Yeah, thank God. Her look, the way she was just bubbling over.
She has the best reaction.
She does.
It's so heartfelt. Like, Anna's happy.
Yeah, she makes me tear up a lot when she's just so sincere and sweet and
so likable.
Yeah, gosh, was she happy to see her man out of jail?
Yeah.
Yes.
We were all happy to see her man.
Do we blame her? No.
No more Craig, no more of that stuff. So he's back in town, or I should say back at Downton. And warm welcome back from just about everybody.
Almost.
Except maybe Thomas, because he doesn't show. Not sure how that's going to work out now, because I'm sure he's thinking that if Bates stays, I'm out.
Right, and that's what the conversation is, you know? So it's trouble in Downton for him, at least.
Yeah. So the other thing I thought was interesting is that they were all falling over him, fawning over him, giving him, you know, getting him... And, you know, even Molesley said, hey, can we all have some of that? And, you know, for whatever reason, Bates is he's got this great... Well, they revere him so much, and part of it is just because of his history or his backstory. Because what has he done for them, to them?
Well, I feel like he's the male version of Anna. He's just always been really kind and fair, and that went for everybody in the house, besides Thomas, of course, who he had issues with.
Yep.
speaking of issues, I'm having mic issues, so I'm sorry. I'm a little distracted. Well, I think also he's so revered by Lord Grantham that I think that gives him a lot of sort of credence with the rest of the staff. Don't you think that's part of it?
Yeah, I'm sure that's kind of...
Especially Mr. Carson, because Mr. Carson loves anybody the Lord and Lady loves. Yeah.
That's true. That's
that, and
true.
I also think that, you know... as much as that's true, and I agree with that, also Bates, as he is in the house, he fits Mr. Carson's model of what a manservant to be a valet should be. He knows the proper way to do everything, except for the having the injury to his leg.
Bum leg.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But he knows how to handle himself. He knows how to handle Lord Grantham, and he does everything the way he should be done. So that's why Carson, I think, goes for him like crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he's just right. So, all the time.
So, of course, he and Anna are looking for cottages. Yeah.
Well, because it's not proper for them to not be living together.
Of course. And they can't live together in a house.
In a house, because that's weird.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's not weird to have people just living there anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder why the Crawleys can do it, but they can't. Like, Mary and Matthew live there together as husband and wife. Yeah. Obviously, Lord Grantham
and Cora.
Obviously,
different rules for the downstairs people, but...
Well, I think also it's just they need more space than they would get in a single room downstairs. I think it's really just a space issue more than anything. And plus, because both of them are so well liked by the family, they're going to do a little extra for them.
And, you know, they have the, I guess, the male dormitory area and the female dormitory area, and I guess they don't mix those. But you'd think that there's got to have...
fraternization.
Well, not only that, but you know that the people who work for them, they're married, and they've probably been married to each other who work at the house.
So sure.
Isn't there some section for the married couples?
There probably is.
Mr. Carson has closed off.
So they're getting a whole
party. He doesn't want people to be distracted.
Yeah,
exactly.
From their work, clearly. Because he doesn't even want Alfred to go to the movies.
I know.
So, all right, I'll let you go.
Yeah. All right. So, so that was all that was to that storyline. We're glad to see
Bates. We're just glad he's back.
We're glad Anna's happy, you know, and we're going to see how that plays out. Of course, we think, Grantham's going to get his job back, right?
Yeah, but they won't be happy for long. There's got to be something that'll crush us.
I'm just so glad they didn't dwell on the whole jail thing and actually show us, the struggle to get him out or the process to. I was so over it. I was like,
We really just wanted him back in the house.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm glad they took him out for a while. I mean, we can debate how, it was too long, it was too short, whatever, but I'm glad that it was away from the house just because it was nice to be out somewhere else and seeing the difference between how people live and that time. But anyway, that takes us to Edith, because that's our other storyline that was come over from yesterday. Is she going to become a journalist? Is she going to take the gig? She finally goes to London to see the editor.
Uh-huh.
What do we think of him? Seemed like a stand-up guy.
Yeah, he seemed nice enough.
Nice enough chap.
As soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, something's going to be happening
here. Yeah, little thing there. It looks like he definitely is interested in her.
Uh-huh. Yes. And he's effusive with his praise of her.
Oh, well.
And he, I think probably a little more familiar than one, a public person should be. And I mean public, I mean not a lord or lady.
Uh-huh.
Should be with a lady.
So it's not just because he wants her to work for him. You think you definitely felt it was because he has some sort of...
He doesn't strike me the way the newspaper man did,
Oh, sure.
In terms of being, a player, a manipulator. He doesn't seem that. It seems like he may have romantic intentions with her.
Yeah, I think they got to go somewhere like that, right? But then, of course, that's going to be ruined. There's going to be something that's going to make that work.
If her former fiancé was too old for her, this guy's probably too old for her as well. Not that he's as old, but...
And to make it worse, like you said, he's not a lord.
Right.
He's journalist.
The journalist, God forbid.
The way the dowager, when she announced that she was going to be a journalist at dinner, it's like, it was a shock, but having a journalist, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, and Lord Grantham automatically scolds Matthew for even encouraging her at the breakfast table, so.
And Matthew's been encouraging her for weeks on this.
I know, but it's the same argument they've been having.
Right.
Well, that tension is getting worse and worse between them, so. another reason to hate Matthew.
Is she just going to write articles from, you know, being a lady, what it's like to, in that world?
That's a good question. I wonder what she is going to write about. Because Lord Grantham is saying, oh, they just want you because you are titled.
And that's got to be part of it. Why else would you hire her?
Sure. Right.
She has no background in it, per se. So, the reason why you're hiring her is because she has that cachet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was also curious to know if they were going to assign her stories like a legitimate newspaper or doing.
I think she's doing
you've never written a story in your life, but go ahead and pick
the subject. I'm Lady Edith on the Parliament beat.
Well, she's doing a column.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. So it's, I don't know. Yeah. Dear Abby.
Yeah.
I guess.
It'd be interesting to see what you
Dear doing. Edith.
All right, so the other thing
Which
that,
fork do I use at this
Yeah, well, maybe.
She would know.
The article she'll write is how the changing times and how to modernize the aristocracy.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe she'll
do that. Would be interesting.
As they're going through it.
Exactly.
That would be interesting.
So, all right, well, that takes us to Thomas. So
We've been talking
about this for weeks. Of course, they've been, furthering the storyline as we go, and we know that O'Brien's got some sort of horrible scheme up her sleeve.
Yes, she does.
And even today, when we first saw Jimmy and Thomas talking, you see her lurking in the background. You could just see her walking by the doorway,
lurking as always.
She's too good at that.
What's her first name? Lurk? A lurk? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lurking O'Brien.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, but okay. So the whole thing, you know, she keeps feeding them in his ear, trying to say that, you know, James is, oh, no, he really has fancied you. He fancied you or whatever. But when we actually make the trip in there and, they're doing all the montage about Alfred coming up the stairs.
Yes.
Jimmy is asleep in his bed. Thomas trying to, he's frustrated.
He's stewing.
I'm going, please don't.
I know.
And then when he's in the room and he goes in the room, I say, no.
Of course, yelling at the television, yes. Don't do it.
Yeah. Were you guys feeling the same way?
I felt the same way. And I felt bad for Alfred because his reaction was just like, he looked like he saw a ghost.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Mortified, horrified, terrified.
Terrified is a good one. Yeah. It was, O'Brien.
But, I mean, how desperate. I mean, because, obviously, Thomas has had a thing for James and, you know.
Right. Well, everybody has a thing for James.
That's true. But, you know, and we've seen him, you know, at the clock. They were, you know, touching too much and he's always been too close. But I'm going, how desperate. And that's the thing I was interested in is that Thomas looks so desperate in his room. He looks so lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And then how desperate do you have to be to go in somebody's room and the guy's asleep and you sit on the bed and just kiss him?
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine doing that.
I mean, well, just because O'Brien says a couple of things.
Well, she was going on. She was feeding his fantasy she was.
And, sure.
And he said it to Mr. Carson. He said, well, when you're in my position.
Right, you have to learn to read the signs.
Exactly.
Yeah, he misread those signs.
Jeez, he did.
His gaydar's not that good.
Not good.
Turns out.
Not good gaydar. But it was really scandalous, and it was just mortifying, as I said, because we have to realize that, yes, there's the issue of James not being gay and being mistaken for gay. So that's one, big misunderstanding that's really difficult to deal with. But this was a crime. It was a crime to be gay back then. Punishable by prison terms, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And, well, until late 1800s, it was a capital crime. And then they change it to 10 years in prison.
Right, because you could serve, you could go to prison for life for being gay.
Yeah, exactly.
Then.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So this was, really serious on a lot of levels for a lot of people. And so the idea of Thomas, trying to figure things out, there's the whole extra layer beyond the scorn and the people talking about it being unnatural and all of that. There's the whole, criminal element he's lonely.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of layers between you and getting what you want.
But what I found so interesting is that there wasn't any time between, really, he likes me?
Right.
And to find out before he went in while the guy's asleep and kisses him. There was no, what are you thinking?
Yeah. He even, initially he even tells O'Brien, Jimmy's a ladies' man.
Yeah,
right. Get up, leave me alone.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is that he allowed himself that denial, that delusion to think, okay, I shouldn't find out in some other fashion before I go in there and kiss him. What?
Well, we see a vulnerable Thomas this whole, these past few episodes because they're trying to make him more likable. We've hated him
for so long. The entire series.
Yeah, we talked about that last week about how they're turning him likable, which makes
him more. But I'm starting to feel bad.
Yeah.
and we see that he is desperate and he is vulnerable. Yeah. So,
but that's what I thought they did, handled it well, because in other hands it wouldn't have been as well received, I should say, because it's hard to believe that somebody wouldn't take steps in between hearing about that and going, "Oh, really?"
Especially,
and then kissing him in the bedroom.
And Thomas knows Mrs. O'Brien better than anybody. Yeah. You would assume that he wouldn't be manipulated that easily.
Right. It was a few
right.
short months ago that she said that she was going to get a revenge on him.
Yeah.
No uncertain terms.
Right.
So.
But when you're down.
And that's how desperate
it is. Yeah, exactly. Desperate, down, broken.
And I just felt horrible when he was getting the dressing down from Carson.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to hear about
you. I do not wish to take a tour of your revolting world.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that too. So sad.
Yeah.
Hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. And how different, it's not that much different than calling him an abomination as somebody who's revolting, or the world is revolting. It's mm-hmm. not that much different.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that he didn't deny anything, and
no.
he was very honest and upfront. Mm-hmm.
And made sure that it was all on him. It wasn't on Alfred or James.
Absolutely.
Or
right.
So.
Which is different for him, because in the past he would have done all sorts of shenanigans to get out of something.
Mm-hmm.
As we've seen over and over again. So that was interesting.
So is it because he's been a valet to Lord Grantham that he's filling those shoes differently now? Because what do you think?
Something's changed. It's not the horrid Thomas we're used to.
Because we certainly would expect that of somebody standing up and saying, no, it wasn't anybody else's mind.
Right.
And Bates would do something like that.
Right.
You know, not the offense, so to speak, but he certainly would not make... He would make sure that nobody else was in trouble for it.
Right.
So now this is unheard of for Thomas. We've never seen anything like this.
Right, becoming a more upstanding citizen.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, is it because he's having to stand in for Bates and have a more responsibility there, all that kind of stuff?
Maybe that's the case.
Maybe
that's the case. Mm-hmm. Because he's just sort of lived in that world for a longer time now. And
maybe the Honorable Lord Grantham rubbed off on him.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I want to talk about the line that Mrs. Hughes said. Carson says, human nature.
Oh.
It's a funny business. And Mrs. Hughes, with one of the great lines of the show tonight. Yeah. Why didn't the poets come to you, Mr. Carson? They'd have saved themselves a lot of time and trouble. Hilarious.
Very dry.
I love her.
Yes, she was.
She's great.
Let's take a break real quick. Let's talk about everybody writing in their comments. We appreciate that, and we have a few. Tammy, what you want to mention?
We want to thank Egret9 on iTunes for your comments. Also, Aaron McSheff. Thanks. I don't have nails to pick, but I had noisy jewelry on last week, and so I'm not wearing jewelry anymore on the show. So, but thank you for your comments. And Nikki in D.C., thank you so much for your comments on iTunes, you guys. We really appreciate
it. That's right. So, yeah, please go to iTunes, download the podcast, tell a friend so we can keep growing here. We've got 60 shows. I'm sure you'll find something you like. We're also doing movies now as well. We've got that happening. Just tell a friend. Download, keep your rating and commenting going, and we'll keep trying to answer those as we can.
I also want to thank the Twitter followers as well.
Oh,
suddenly
sure.
My phone's not working. Let me see here. Mary Fagley or Feagley and New Zealand Mom and a bunch of you for retweeting our show and letting people know about our podcast. We really appreciate your following and helping us out with that.
All right. Let's get into Ethel. Because I thought this was a very interesting story. No, obviously they're carrying this one over too, but we had a little bit more meat to this one because it got more players in the mix here, because last week we had the Dowager sitting at luncheon at Isabel's and not wanting to leave when Lord Grantham bursts in and says, all right, everybody out of here, but there's a hooker here.
Right.
And so they start off, but there's, you know, and Isabel was saying the same thing. In fact, we even discussed that. It's like, why would she not leave? And she even says what we were talking about, which was that she thought it would be wrong to leave to cause a bigger ruckus than there was.
And because it's a shame to miss a good pudding.
Yes, exactly. And it would be an insult.
Right. Actually. It would be an insult to Isabel.
Right.
I can't believe that I was fooled. For a second, I thought she was changing.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
I fell for it.
Yeah.
But so she talks about how having Ethel there puts the family in a miasma of scandal, I think was what she said, right?
Yeah.
I
wrote that to miasma of scandal. Damn, good words.
It is,
yeah. So, and it's tainted them all. So then she sets about changing all that. And of all people, she asks Edith to help her out.
Yeah.
I thought that was a weird play.
Well, I didn't realize what she was asking for.
Right.
I didn't put two and two together. And then once I found out what she was doing, it made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Why Edith? Because I didn't get why Edith. Why use Edith to do that?
As opposed to Mary.
Or Cora or...
Well, she's going to go work for her newspaper. Might as well put in some advertisements.
I think it might have been that she was going to ask whoever she was going to ask, but it turned out Edith needed a favor from her. So that was just a return the favor sort of situation. She probably could have asked either girl.
Yeah, okay. But I was wondering if there was more to it, like Edith somehow is an inside track with Isabel or something like that. I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think it was just one hand washing the other, because obviously I got that part, but I was just...
Yeah, I think it was just a secret thing.
There.
I think it was a circumstance thing.
So. Mm-hmm. And it worked. Well, of course, that helped to have Mrs. Hughes gang up, so it was like the four of them against her, against Isabel.
And it was so interesting to me exactly what Isabel's reaction was. I can't believe you people have been creating all these backroom deals.
I was like, what? That's what they all do. That's all they do.
Well, yeah, good point. But, you know, the putting an ad in the newspaper, that's kind of a little further along than I'm going to have you do this and I'm going to have you do that.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I agree. That was a bit much.
Well, yeah, but it's not much for the dowager. That's what she does.
Yeah.
And she does it all the time. And so I was like, what are you shocked by?
I'm sure I know you're right. I'm not fighting you. It's just a bummer because
it's just like a fresh slap in the face each time.
All right. That's it.
It's always a little shocking.
A fresh slap in the. There you go. Yes, it is. A fresh slap and then dowager slaps.
But you know, I really could see Mrs. Crawley's Isabel's, you know, challenge when she's talking to all of them and trying to talk about Mrs. Hughes. Uh-huh. Mrs. Hughes, you know, sort of seeing both sides of the of the coin and saying, look, here's the deal. The bottom line is she ever going to be able to escape her past in this village where everyone's going to know and they are going to throw scorn at her and create problems for her. So perhaps she almost said, you know, maybe she should go find life in another town.
Yeah, and Mrs. Hughes is always the pragmatist. It's definitely here. But I thought what was interesting is that, because Isabel, let's put it this way, her argument was, well, she shouldn't have to live like this. She's made a mistake. She's trying to turn over a new leaf, all that kind of stuff. She's doing all the things right.
Yes.
And, you know, Isabel's just fighting the convention, the tradition, and instead of saying, you know what, you were right, and putting the weight of the dowagership behind all that, you know, she of course reverts to it's the scandal that we shouldn't have to be touched by. So she if she had said, you know what, because the dowager, if she had gotten behind the efforts of turning Ethel's life around and you know, going to those people and scorning them who had turned Ethel away,
that would have been
the thing you would hope for, because then but of course she's not going to, because that's not who the dowager is.
But that
would have been interesting. The fact that they didn't do anything like that, because she's more interested in removing the thing that's of a distaste, shall we say, rather than changing everybody else.
And the only way for it to have changed would be for the dowager to have to go to bat for Ethel, you know, with each. Because we've already seen it happen with Mrs. Bird, and then we saw it with the other woman in the in town. So it would have taken that kind of effort. And, you know, she's not up for it. She's an old lady. But I have to say that she could have had Ethel removed in a much less kind way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she could have just unceremoniously told Mrs. Crawley that she's out. She's over. It's done.
Yeah.
You know, and not done the...
Taking
the extra step to try and get her something else, which is, you know, relatively kind way to deal with it, I must say.
For the dowager, it was
kind. For her,
No, you're right.
Yeah, and in the end of the day, we see how she does struggle in town. She comes home crying. Mm-hmm. So let's be reasonable. Maybe this is the best.
Yeah, instead of changing everybody else's mind, let's just have her fresh start somewhere else where they don't know her history. Like, they're not going to find out her history there.
I know.
Is it somehow they always do?
They don't have cell phones.
I know,
but they
always do. It always happens.
Let's just hope they won't, because people can also reinvent themselves in those times.
Why do you think Isabel didn't bring it up to Ethel, the whole thing? because she was started to when she went home after it was all decided that, you know, this was going to happen. And she starts to bring it up to Isabel.
And then just asks, are you happy?
Just, are you happy? And of course she says, well, compared to what I was doing, yeah. But why didn't she just... You know, why did she not bring it up?
I don't know. I think maybe she was just sort of sleeping on it and seeing if I were her, that's sort of where I would be. You're caught between a rock and a hard place, and you need to give it a think and see if maybe there's another alternative. And if this is the best thing for her, because I would bet Mrs. Crawley, Isabel, would come through and go, you know, no. I'm not gonna boot her just because you're telling me I have to. I could see her actually doing it. I don't think she's going to in this situation.
No, I don't.
But if she did decide that, I could see her going up again. Because she said, you know, I find what you say offensive or whatever it was she said.
And she stood up before and things like that. And thank God she has, because it's nice to see one person do something like that.
Yes.
But I also think, you know, for Isabel, she's always got a pet project. You know,
you're right.
And it's not always a pet project. Sometimes it's a huge thing like the hospital or whatever.
You're
right. But she always has something that she's fighting for.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I thought it was a valiant fight, you know, with the whole Ethel thing, wanting to change it all around and all that stuff. And I like her being that. So, you know, if they're taking Ethel away, she's got to find another thing to fight for.
Well, she'll find some poor downtrodden soul.
She won't stay still. She'll be fine.
No, she'll
find
something.
She will.
Maybe she can help Edith.
Maybe she can.
Poor
Edith.
With
her journalism?
Poor Edith.
Or do you mean find another guy?
Love, life, everything.
Okay, she's going to become a Yenta or something?
Jilted at the altar,
she's not
Edith.
Cut out for domestic life, you know?
All right, well, it was good to see. I'm glad. And do we think Ethel's going to... I know this is predictions, but do we think Ethel's going to find another place? You think she's going to go for it? Then when Isabel finally breaks it to her, hey, we're going to find another place.
It'd be the reasonable thing.
Well, I can't see. I mean, what's she going to say? No, don't fire me. You know, she'll go. She'll find something.
Yeah.
She's, you know, she's a pragmatist about the fact that she came from another life. And yes, she was hopeful that something else would happen, which is why she was crying in the street when she'd been shunned by the villager.
Turned away, spurned.
But she knows where she came from, and she knows that she's fighting an uphill battle at this point. Mm-hmm. So I think she'll keep moving forward and keep trying to figure it out.
Okay. Now, speaking of that, then let's move on to the Lord Grantham and the Downton and Matthew, trying to figure out the whole way to make Downton survivable or flourish so that there's a history left for their children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord Grantham. He's feeling sorry for himself.
You know what? It's interesting.
He is.
But not only that, everybody has, they like Cora, Dowager, sometimes they all talk about, oh, please, and even Mary, oh, what are we going to do with poor father? Please bring father along.
He's a baby.
I was like, why are they treating him like such a wuss? He's not a baby.
Mm-hmm.
He is baby.
No, he is baby, but he's not a baby. I mean, I don't know why they're dealing with kid gloves. They're all worried about him. Like he's going to be crushed by this.
Well, he's worried about himself more than anybody. We see him whining and crying about this. You know, I don't know.
Well, I just think he's got the, you know, first of all, I have no idea the pressure or stress it would be to be the lord of some place and supposed to be responsible for not only this land, but all these people and their jobs. And even Cora said, we're responsible for Tom now.
Right.
So they're responsible for everybody. In their mind, that's where they grew up. You're responsible.
Right.
You're the ones. So to be under that kind of pressure and have it, you failed at it, and then not knowing the way through into this new world.
Well, I think a lot of the problem for him is that he's coming from this place of an aristocrat. He's coming from, you know, he's lived his whole life knowing that this was going to be his... You know, his future. He was always going to be Lord Grantham of Downton Abbey.
Right.
And so now the world is coming in and presenting a complete paradigm change for him.
Yeah.
And he's never lived anything but this. He doesn't have an outside experience like Matthew does. He doesn't have, you know, anybody really coming into his life except for Matthew, challenging and giving him options. And so, of course, he's going to come from fear because he doesn't know what it is that's facing him. And also, he just plain is ignorant. And I don't mean that he's an idiot. I just mean he doesn't have experience. He's unaware of what other possibilities there are.
And I thought they used Jarvis well to highlight that, because Jarvis is 40 years at this job, and he was his dad's
agent.
Agent.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear Lord Grantham talk to him and saying, "Oh, come on, now, if I can listen to it, so can you, and let's, you know, we have to think to the future," that kind of thing. Yes. I'm going, finally, they got somebody even more staid and set in his ways than Lord Grantham. So it kind of was helpful to help him move along like that, using Jarvis. By the way, great name, Jarvis.
Jarvis.
40-year-old agent. Well, I mean, 40 years.
Been an agent for 40 years. As the agent to the estate. God.
And so... just set in his ways.
Yeah.
The old broom, as he called himself.
Well, and to the point where he will not be changed.
Well, at this point, he's institutionalized. He can't.
Yes.
I don't think he can.
Yes.
That's it.
Right. So. Well, and Lord Grantham has to make a choice. So yeah. he can't walk away from this, really.
Mm. I thought Cora's line was the best for him, isn't it? You know, she's talking, they're in the bedroom, in the same bed, so they're back in bed. So there you go.
But, we are not unhappily married.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. She says that he's been telling everybody that Downton is now a dual monarchy.
And yes. It
never dawned on me that you would be lying. Or what? She didn't say it that way.
You didn't mean it.
You didn't mean it, yeah. And I think that's the case. Is that, look, you've been telling Matthew like crazy. And Mary has told Matthew to get involved. And, you know, everybody's been wanting this to happen. And it's finally happening. And, of course, all the growing pains, everybody's getting ticked at it.
Right.
So it's good to see that Cora says that. But it was nice to see them back together, too.
Talk is cheap.
Yep. So do we, and of course, their plan. Now, we saw this, weeks ago when they first started, you know, deciding what they're going to do with Tom and going, you know, and dropped in the little hints about him, his grandfather being a sheep
farmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I'm going, well, who's going to finally get wise to that? Right. Why did it take the dowager?
Right.
Like, all these great minds, you know, finally she dawns on her.
Well, you know, the other thing is that, again, why couldn't Lord Grantham see through it enough to go, hey, here's a way to keep my granddaughter in town?
Yeah, I mean, that was, I mean, duh.
Duh, indeed.
So why'd that take so long?
But did Lord Grantham really want Tom to stay? I feel like he was...
No. But he did want the baby to stay, of course. You know, of course, he wanted the baby to stay, not as a Catholic, but, you know, as an Anglican. He didn't want a left footer in that family. But you gotta want the kid. But I like the way the dowager did the whole thing about you want her to live above a garage with the gorilla,
the drunken gorilla.
Thank you very much. Talking about really knowing the buttons to push for her son.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, yeah.
That was
well. I'll do it as long as you'll accept that you are going to be. Yeah, you're going to take the blame.
It's two conditions. Yeah, it's two conditions. As long as Matthew agrees, and as long as you take the fall, but you admit that you were wrong.
Right. Excuse me. You're right. Yes.
Dowager's line after that was the best.
Well, do you remember what it was?
She said something like, "Well, I'm never wrong." So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Easy caveat to make because I'm never wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so, you know, Murray was back in it, so I don't know what the plan is. I can't go, I mean, but it involves obviously modernizing. And as soon as they start talking about modernizing and new machinery and all, I could just see Lord Grantham in his head just going, what? Because, I mean, they had a hard time with the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But Murray says past is not much of a model, so get with it.
And that was great to hear the history, too, that the Downton has been in decline for...
Three earls
so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was common.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it would have to be such a difficult thing to do. I had a friend who lived outside of London, and her address. Mm-hmm. I've had several friends that had these odd addresses. She lived in the Dairy Cottage.
Okay.
At the blah blah in this town. Well, you know, so there were no numbers. Her address was Dairy Cottage, such and such, you know, castle in such and such county in this town in England.
Wow.
And so I've stayed in the Dairy Cottage. I slept in the Dairy Cottage. And it's very cute and very adorable. But, you know, 150 years ago, it was where they kept the cows. Or where they kept the milk after they milked the cows.
Okay.
You know? And so my point is that all of these great estates, you know, in today's times, because you can't really tear them down, they get sort of parsed up and become other things. And eventually, this became a little house that somebody could rent, you know, because you can't afford to keep the place up. It costs millions of dollars to keep these places heated and from falling apart.
And that goes to another point. What kind of wealth must they have
possessed at that time?
Yeah.
They're in charge of the entire... county, shire, whatever.
Shire, exactly. Right.
I mean, and to be and to own it all.
Right.
What kind of wealth did Cora have?
Yeah.
Because they mentioned
to save it.
To be able to save it all after a decline of two earls.
Sure.
Yeah. JP Morgan kind of wealth, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Fascinating stuff.
So, you know, and then finally, of course, Tom agrees to stick around. So we knew it was going to happen. We were postulating that a couple weeks ago, that, and thank God that's going to happen. So we'll see how baby Sybil grows.
Yeah.
So what are we? Oh, the last thing. Speaking of the christening,
So
sweet.
Yeah, and of course we get to meet the brother, Branson's bro, Kieran.
Kieran, the rough diamond.
Kieran.
Yeah. And this is just some weird. This has nothing to do with anything. But his name was Kieran, which is obviously a traditional Irish name. But because he wanted a beer so bad, I couldn't get out of my mind Kieran beer. I just don't know why.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, and I love the way they introduced him. He's a rough diamond, and of course she says, and Mary says, "Well, I'm very fond of diamonds." But then when they show him downstairs,
you know, yucking it up with the servants.
Yeah, and everybody loves him. He's the life of the party.
Love Kieran.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how about Thomas stepping up? Tom Branson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You will
Carson.
Not disrespect my mother.
She was kind enough to offer him an invitation. You'll not snub her. Now get moving.
Well, I just thought that was lovely and a nice turn and endear him to lots of people, and except for maybe Kieran. And you know, it shows that he's negotiating his way through the halls of Downton Abbey, so to speak.
It's a tough road, too, because it's a fine line for him. He's still trying like crazy today. You can see him hanging on to his dignity or what he considers his principles.
Yes.
And just still trying to fit in with the family, even though his wife is no longer around. And you think, and more than anything, I think he's just doing it in her memory.
Yeah.
Because he even says that. Remember that what he says to Lord Grantham about who's coming to the christening? They're all at the dinner table. And you know, Mary's going to go, and who else is going? And Dowager says, "I'll go if Tom wants me," and of course. And Lord Grantham says, "No, I'm not going. Tom wouldn't want me there."
Yeah.
And the way he said that, he goes, but Sybil loved you, and she would want you there.
Yes.
But the way he said it, not even just what he was saying, I was going, there you go.
Yes. Yeah, he wasn't being manipulative.
No.
He was being generous.
Yeah.
Very
and genuine. honoring the memory and the wishes of his wife.
Yeah.
He's becoming really likable as well.
Isn't he? Because he was such kind of a, all right, get off it. You know, he's always so angry and...
Yeah, and...
You know, and...
degree he was selfish about.
Yeah. And I'm more interested now in his principles and what he believes in than I used to be, because he's off his soapbox every time.
Yeah.
Well, I am. And he just comes from a different place now.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, and what do you think of the christening?
Oh, we didn't really see the christening, but
we just saw the photographs out of the family photos.
That was
afterwards.
So hilarious with the dowager and the Lord Grantham and the priest.
And the priest.
And let's bring the priest in.
Their faces.
We had a couple of comic moments Grantham did in this episode.
And Cora poking fun of him, worrying then.
Yep.
What was that last line? The way they ended the show was awesome.
Are you afraid
to be converted while you're not looking?
Yeah.
The theme. Yeah.
Well, and again, costumes beautiful. You know, hats beautiful. The montage of the
sisters,
not the montage.
The two sisters and mom, they look great.
They looked beautiful.
I feel like their costumes are changing with the times a little bit more. I noticed it this episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Just the color, or do you mean the whole fashion? You can see the trending.
It's kind of changing with the hats and. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think it's also the season as well, because we've been seeing the, you know, heavy coats and dark colors and that sort of thing, and we're maybe getting into spring now. And
I didn't notice.
I'm also thinking a little bit ahead. I'll mention it next episode.
Oh.
What I noticed costume-wise. Sorry.
Look at you.
Anything else you guys want to talk about that we haven't covered?
I just
You know what we didn't talk about is the whole Daisy, Ivy, James, Alfred going out on a date and the whole thing.
Oh,
that
Alfred.
Craziness? Yeah. Poor, I'm just going, Alfred, give it up. It's not going to happen.
Give it up. I feel so bad when he's questioning Ivy. And he's like, well, if you knew Jimmy didn't like you, and she's like, I'd have to hear it from his mouth.
Yeah. And then also Ivy, James is not going to go for you.
Yeah,
it's
for God's sake, move on, people. Yeah. Turn the page.
But, you know, there is no other options. They live, eat, and breathe that place. They get a half day off.
Yeah, like, so you're going to go out and find a man.
Exactly. It's not like they can just go to the city.
Right.
So, you know, this is it. The only people they meet are the people downstairs.
That's right.
Well,
unless
I
they go to some fair, you know.
Alfred would just look at Daisy, too.
Yeah.
Poor Daisy.
Yeah.
Poor Daisy.
I thought that she went after him, saying, look, even in front of everybody, the way Daisy said that. Yeah. She doesn't look. She doesn't think of you that way. Look what she says about you. And why do you go to the movie?
You're still taking her to the
pictures. Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing. What are you doing?
He needs a little more pride. Where's your dignity, man?
That's right.
Exactly.
So leave it.
Exactly.
It's in some other livery. Well, go get it.
I left it in the pocket.
Exactly. Oh my god.
Also, the conflict about being the first server, I believe, between him and Jimmy or
Alfred
James.
Finally gets a shot.
I know. That was kind of
a little tricky. Underhanded.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of James to place the spoons. And,
yeah.
Hmm.
But he didn't mean it.
No, I can't believe that you would think I did.
Yeah. So do you think, what do you think, O'Brien rubbing off on him?
Yeah, must be.
Maybe so.
I mean, it's so funny how they just fight. Tooth and claw for the little positions.
Again, position, power. There's very little of any of the things there. There's not a lot to live for downstairs.
Just grabbing whatever turf they can.
If we're going to have a Sweet Thomas, we need another.
That's true.
Villain.
Mm. I was going to say a-hole, but.
Yeah, but I don't think they're not going to turn Thomas completely.
No.
Nah, I don't think so.
Still got it in
him. He still got
to
that's a lot to overcome. I mean, let's face it, the way we thought of him, you know, last season. Remember?
Yeah, no.
Can't forget that.
To turn him that would be a tough job. I mean, I wish them well. Go ahead and try.
Let's do some
news, shall
we?
Oh, you know, before we do news, Marissa
to
tell us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Beg your pardon, Marissa.
You have something to share with us.
We just launched this new thing at AfterBuzz TV. We have AfterBuzz TV merchandise.
Look at that.
Yeah,
merch.
If you go to the AfterBuzzTV.com, at the top, you'll see a banner for the AfterBuzz TV store. Click on that, and it'll take you directly to the store. You can see we have mugs, we have bags, we have shirts, baby onesies.
Onesies? Nice.
Yeah, AfterBuzz babies.
Baby onesies.
So check it out and get your AfterBuzz swag on.
Nice.
All right, now we go to news.
Okay, good.
I'm
going to
hear this. I see Lady Edith.
Yes.
Okay, we have a picture of Lady Edith. Tammy will read the article, but look at the picture. I know it's going to be hard for obviously you're listening on download, but you've got to see a picture of the actress because she looks so much better in real life than she does as Edith,
really
right?
Does.
Am I right?
She looks pretty. You know, I just want to say thank God for makeup and hair color because that is the difference here. Her name is Laura Carmichael, the woman who plays Edith, and she says she's very happy to play the dowdy sister on Downton Abbey. Dowdy Downton. She says, I think it must be so hard to start your career with everyone going on about how gorgeous you are. To be in that bracket must be so pressurized. And the other benefit of it is that fans are surprised by how much better she looks, as we did. When they meet her, she says, I am so lucky to be doing this job, and I probably end up with more confidence than anyone, because when people meet me, they say, oh, you're nowhere near as dowdy as we thought you are. Or, oh my God, you look so fat and old on TV, but you're not like that at all.
So that's the key. Okay, so be fat and dowdy on camera. And
exactly.
Not so much
and, you know, O'Brien has got a lot of
that
in that category as well.
Yeah.
She says, I think they think I'm really going to be thrilled to hear that, and I just smile and say thank you. Then the other thing that I have is, if you get a chance, I tweeted this a few minutes ago. Sesame Street did a little spoof on Downton Abbey, and it's called Upside Downton Abbey. And it's very sweet and very fun. And I tweeted out the link, so if you want to see it, or you can just Google it.
Or have your kids see it.
Upside Downton Abbey. The thing that I'm most impressed by is the costumes, of course, because they're so good at Sesame Street and Children's Television Workshop making all of the costumes be so amazing. They've got some pretty...
Downton is because everybody's doing a stand up on Downton. I mean, Saturday Night Live, Jimmy Fallon. I mean, it's all over the place.
So. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Now Sesame Street, so you know you've made it.
It's not for the grown up.
No,
crowd.
It's for kids. Right?
But it's,
It should be for Sesame Street.
It's not hilarious as some of the ones that we saw, but it's very sweet and very fun. And if you know Downton Abbey, it's very cute. So you can show that to your kids.
Whenever it's on Fallon, I like Downton 6B, I think is what they call it.
Yeah, I don't know. But look for Upside Downton Abbey. Dan Stevens has been playing on Broadway in The Heiress with Jessica Chastain.
Uh-huh.
And the producers This is how it's put in the papers. It says that Dan Stevens' Broadway debut is officially a hit after producers revealed that the show is going to make its money back. They've recouped their $3 million cost by the time the show closed, which I believe was yesterday.
A hit.
The play, The Heiress, played 27 previews and 117 regular performances. It's a revival based on a Henry James novel, Washington Square.
Right. Yeah, reviews came in, and the ones that I had heard of, he did a good job. So good for him.
I think it's funny that they call that a hit.
Yeah.
They completed their run. Ooh, we're a hit. And I know.
Well, maybe they're going on a tour. I don't know. I don't know what the.
Yeah, possibly. That's true. That's a good point. They don't mention that in the article, but they do say that. I suppose breaking even is considered a hit on Broadway now because it's so easy to flop.
Well, especially if it's not a musical.
Well, yeah. Well, and musicals are even so much more expensive than that. You've really got to make a lot of money on those. But I think perhaps calling it a hit might be an overstatement. Would be my editorial opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, we haven't talked about it on the air, but there's been a lot of talk about Dan Stevens is going to be playing Julian Assange of WikiLeaks in the biopic. And Benedict Cumberbatch
is Sherlock Holmes. Marissa knows as well.
Is in the film as well, which may have been part of the reason why there was some of the
oh, I see, the little scuttlebutt between Downton Abbey and his
show.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, so maybe that was because they were both playing together.
A friendly rivalry, perhaps?
Perhaps.
Okay, interesting.
So that's
and that fulfills our news
for
this
news
week.
And gossip, this week.
All right, so let's talk about predictions so we can get on to what next may happen.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
I not so much have this as a prediction, but I think it would be entertaining to have Kieran come back.
Oh, yeah. He certainly stirred the pot.
Right. Because we haven't really seen someone come in and kind of challenge things from the outside
as
much.
Yeah, like Tom did originally, and now that he isn't that.
Yeah, so I think it would be interesting to see Kieran come back. I don't know that he will. Like I said, I'm not much predicting that, but I think it would be entertaining.
Downton's not Downton without a drunken gorilla.
No, indeed. That's
we see more of him. All right. So you hope he'll come back.
I do hope he'll come back. And I think we are going to see Edith have some interesting things happen with her.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well,
I agree with that.
Right. So but it's not
going to
be smooth sailing, right? Yeah, she's probably going to love him, but
poor Edith.
Exactly. Something's got to happen, right? So let's might happen. So obviously, it can't be smooth sailing with her. Whatever
he's
the love interest
is. He's
spending
more time in London.
Yes. Well, I mean, even we saw the coming up.
No, but these people don't see coming ups. We see coming ups on our feed, but they don't have coming ups on.
Oh, they don't?
No, they don't on PBS.
Oh.
No.
There you go.
So don't talk about the coming ups.
I won't then. Let's move on then. Well, then, what do we think? Bates and Anna, of course, will have their little place.
Yeah.
Yes, they'll get one of the cottages.
Do you think Thomas is going to. Well, obviously, Bates will take over his old position. Is Thomas going to get booted? Because let's face it, Bates is now here. Thomas has already got a big strike against him because he held the whole thing with Carson.
There's room in jail now because Bates is out. So maybe Thomas is going to go into jail.
So is he going to be gone?
I if they thought Ethel being a former prostitute was a scandal, I think even though Carson said don't speak to anybody about this, I think they're being
it's contained
an abomination to nature in the house that would be
the fundamental laws. He's broken the fundamental laws.
I can't see him sticking around because I can't see Carson abiding him being there more than anything. Even if it is contained, I can't see Carson being okay with that. That's that because he would just think it's going to come up with every cute footman who comes through the house.
Sure.
So I think Thomas is going to be gone very soon.
Ooh.
That's what I'm saying.
So, and it wouldn't be great to see Tom actually work the land and have it become profitable? Would that
be
the Marxist, as he was called, the Marxist turns a profit?
makes Downton good and saves Downton.
But he's doing it for the collective because everybody will survive that way, right?
Yes,
right.
So, in a way, it works.
His evil plot becoming to fruition.
Yes. I like it.
Okay.
All right.
Any other predictions? Anybody?
That's it. I'm staying out of it.
Marissa, you got anything? Okay. Thank you. All right. While we roll out, Alina, let everybody know where they can find you.
On Twitter, at Alina23, Alina spelled A-L-I-N-A.
You can find me at Tamara Berg on Twitter. Also, Twitter. My website is TamaraCentral.com.
And Marissa?
You can find me on Glee and Once Upon a Time and on Twitter at SerafiniTV.
Okay, and Tamara, you also have another show here. You're doing Justified.
Oh, I'm also doing Justified and Smash. I'm doing Project Runway.
Nice.
Thursday nights.
Okay, and I'm doing Justified as well, Tamara.
And if you're in the U.S. and get the Hallmark Channel, you can watch me on Home and Family tomorrow. I'll be on.
Oh, cool.
Doing a little crafting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and go to SerialBuddies.com. Our trailer is there for our movie that's coming out. It's our release is in March.
Yep.
And the trailer's out now, so go to SerialBuddies.com. You can also go to AfterBuzz TV and find it there. And where else can they find it? Anybody else, Marissa?
We've given them enough choices.
It's That's on
enough?
YouTube.
YouTube, there you go. It's all over the place. So take a look at that.
The Adventures of Serial Buddies.
Not really the same audience as Downton, but you might find it interesting. All right. Well, on behalf of everybody here, we want to thank you very much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.
Next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin...
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.